Don't you guys do a turn the page segment
Wednesday? On Wednesday?
It's time to turn the page.
Turn the page Wednesday.
I don't know when I turn the page.
What we feel like is a great opportunity to turn the page.
We just haven't been able to like turn the page.
That's what you have to do. You got to turn the page.
I think now we all can move on.
Looking ahead to this week's opponent.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Because we need to know when to turn the page. There I go.
We turn the page on the Spiegel and Holmes show. We are done, mostly, with the Rams game. Moving on, mostly, to the Panthers. The Carolina Panthers, a team in some chaos in terms of player leadership. Get this, Lawrence Holmes. They had four captains named in the preseason. They're on billboards and on all the PR releases. They are Bryce Young.
Benched.
Sam Franklin Jr., the special teams killer, broke his foot in training camp. He's out for most of the year. Shaq Thompson, their best player on defense, leading tackler, trusted 10-year vet, just tore his Achilles. He's done for the year. And Derek Brown, now out for the year. They have no active captains.
So, see, this is why the Bears have eight. Because football's a brutal sport.
Correct. In fact, Dave Canales, the head coach, was asked if, are you guys going to do a revote on captains? He's like, no, probably not.
You just kind of go game to game, I guess.
Just rely on the older guys. This is a defense that you can run on, Bears fans. Fourth worst in the NFL at 148.8 yards. Colts and Rams are the two worst. The Panthers are right there. Fifth worst defense overall. And now, without their two veteran captain leaders immediately for the season. Offensively, it's all different with the Red Rifle. Last 2 weeks, the Panthers are fifth in the NFL with 406 yards per game and sixth in scoring at 30 points per game. The first 2 weeks under Bryce Young, they were dead last in both categories at 176 yards per game and 6.5 points per game. 6.5! Last 2 weeks, Dalton has been good. Had the big game in Vegas in a win. Last week, he went 25 for 40 with 220 and two touchdowns against the Bengals. Deontay Johnson, the former Steeler, is his number one receiver. Xavier Leggett is the rookie who has a lot of drops. Adam Thielen is hurt and on injured reserve right now. They can run it a bit. Chuba Hubbard.
I think it's Chuba.
Chuba, I thought so too. You're right. Chuba Hubbard, it's kind of a breakout year for him. He's been good catching the ball, and he's been able to run no matter who the quarterback is. Miles Sanders spells him. Goal line early against the Bengals on Sunday. Guess what the Panthers did? They ran on the goal line from the shotgun. Familiar! They got stopped. Fans are pissed. So the Panthers are an interesting team in some chaos. The Red Rifle stabilizes their offense with, like, continuity, smarts, steadiness, accuracy.
I think that we're outside of the window where that works. I think that you get the immediate bump of competency from Andy Dalton. And then defensive coordinators go, oh, yeah, he's Andy Dalton.
So let's blitz the hell out of him.
Let's get to him and let's make him move because he can't really move anymore. It's a good switch up, but it's not one that I think is sustainable.
Interesting. Well, that's why I mentioned that they can run it and Chuba's having a year because maybe that's what they have to do. And the Bears looked a little vulnerable, certainly about that against the Rams. They might become sellers at the deadline, these Carolina Panthers. The wide receivers, first and foremost, might get dealt, but it's all about Dalton and whether the Bears will run on that defense, whether they will and can run on that defense. That is your page turn getting us to Carolina.
So, can we just stay here on Carolina for a second
before we
go to the NFC North? Because I am curious. Yes, Chuck, I want to stay here because I am curious on what.
It makes me think of donuts.
Candy, turn the page back.
Turn it back.
No, do you have a backward page
we're
turn?
We're not turning it back to the Bears
and
their
clean
last
page
game.
Turn.
I just want to stay here and talk about Carolina
Tanny,
for a
turn
second.
Turn the page back.
Because.
No, that was four. Go two back.
No, go two back.
We've lost our spot.
Damn it.
Need a bookmark.
Got to get a bookmark if we're going to turn pages and go back and forth. I find that situation, there are a lot of bad situations in the NFL right now, okay? I think the situation in New Jersey with both teams is really bad.
Uh-huh.
I think the situation that's happening in Las Vegas is terrible. Right now,
I'm a good player, and I would like to leave as quickly as possible. Thank you.
I think Jacksonville is a nightmare.
Oh boy!
Right now,
if Trevor's bad, they're in a lot of trouble.
I think you had the coach bus toss everyone this week, which was bizarre. And then my favorite part with Doug Peterson was, Tanny, if you can find it, it's great. In Doug Peterson's press conference this week, someone asked him if he was worried about his job, and he was like, "Why would I be worried?" And then parenthetically, you're 1-9 in your last 10, and you started out the season 0-4. Anyway.
It's good reason.
Carolina, with all of this, seems like it's right there on par with the worst situations in the NFL because you had this guy that the owner had to have.
Uh-huh.
The Bears benefited from how thirsty the Carolina Panthers were to get Bryce Young. And then you just abandon it. And then there was all the stuff over the offseason, too. People don't like the owner. And it's different in the ways that most people don't like an owner, where it's not because of the team, it's because of the guy. Like, don't like the guy. Forget about what he does with the team. Don't like the guy.
Hey, man, you want a rich hobbyist, but then you get a rich hobbyist. And he might have a terrible personality.
He might have a terrible personality and run in on grocery stores that have things on signs that he doesn't like and then get mad at them. Anyway, that's all I wanted to bring up. That two things about Carolina to me. I think the clock is struck midnight on Andy Dalton, mm-hmm. and I think the Bears are going to take care of that. And it was awesome that Jalen Johnson was like, oh, yeah, looking forward to seeing our buddy Andy Dalton this weekend. And they're a really terribly run franchise. Now,
to the NFC North, where everybody's really, really either good or gonna be good soon, it seems.
So the Vikings and the Packers played. The Vikings won 31-29. And the Darnold thing continues to be a success.
First and goal from the 14. Darnold out of the shotgun puts Jefferson in motion to the right. He'll go that way to the end zone. Touchdown!
Are you kidding me with that catch?
Justin Jefferson with a 14-yard touchdown grab. And the Minnesota Vikings lead the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field 27-0 with 5:28 to go in the first half. How about this?
What a throw by Sam Darnold. Just the perfect back shoulder with the man-on-man. And J.J. just so smooth, reach back, catches it. Keyshawn Nixon's like, what just happened? I have no idea.
If somehow you didn't see it, back shoulder doesn't do that throw justice. It was like left peck. It was a left peck throw, essentially. It goes in front of the shoulder to the left pectoral muscle, which is still somehow behind the defender. Unbelievable.
What's really cool about that is that the play before, Jordan Addison had had a big play, and Justin Jefferson had done the blocking on that play. And then on the bench, you had Justin Jefferson talk about wanting to be a part of all the good with Josh McCown. Like,
you know what's so cool about this last 5 plays is that Jets blocked to get J.A. open and to score, and how hard he blocked, and then he gets the ball. Like, it just football treats you right, man, when you do the right thing. It's cool.
I had to join the party. Y'all was leaving me. Jefferson finishes with 6 catches for 85 yards and a touchdown. Addison, 3 catches, 72 yards. Sam Darnold, 20 of 28, 275 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, passer rating 123.4.
That's amazing. I learned something about the Vikings on a TV show called Breakfast Ball. I learned this from, I believe his name is Craig Carton. The Vikings are the only team in the NFL with a top 5 offense and a top 5 defense. Only team in the NFL, top 5 on both sides.
I think Kevin O'Connell is really good.
That sucks.
He's getting, that sucks, it Lawrence. Does. It does.
They were supposed to be the team that was easy for the Bears to finish ahead of this year.
And here's the dirty secret. They got the better quarterback playing right now than what they would have had. And I think that's bad for this season for the Bears.
Yeah, we wish JJ was there taking his lumps.
And working through it. Speaking of working through lumps, oh my goodness. Mr. Love was back. He was back, and it wasn't great. Now, the numbers from a fantasy standpoint aren't terrible. 32 of 54, 389 yards, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Jordan Love talked about coming back from that knee injury.
You know, as far as affecting me, no, I think I was able to play, you know, through it. You know, took a hit to it, which painful, you know what I mean? Painful and felt it and, you know, got up, was able to move around on it still. So nothing really there.
Does that set you back for, you know, next week as far as maybe you still can play, but are you not progressing then because of that hit or?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll go through the week and see. We just didn't make plays. I think, you know, did not play well enough, personally, me. And, you know, accuracy was a little bit off, a little bit shaky.
The Packers' next 4 opponents, Lawrence, 3 of them are juicy. The Rams, the Cardinals, the Texans, and then the Jaguars. So is there a 3 out of 4 stretch going? Jordan Love, interesting against McVay and the Rams' defense this week.
The Lions are on bye this week. But they had themselves quite the Monday night.
That was an unbelievable watch. That game going back and forth for a while with offenses functioning at a crazy high level. It felt aspirational, and I wanted to be done with that part of Bears life. But watching those 2 offenses and then certainly Detroit felt very aspirational.
We saw a little history, too. Quarterback, receiver, receiver, quarterback. Hit it, Tanny.
And Amon-Ra St. Brown, who does it all for him. Shotgun snap goes to the quarterback. Goff fakes the handoff and gives the end around to St. Brown, and then throws in the end zone. Caught by Goff at the goal line. Near side. Touchdown, Detroit. The wide receiver just threw a touchdown pass to the quarterback. Now we have seen it all. Wow.
I just told you he does it all for this team.
Yeah, well, like, I just gave the game ball to somebody else, so I feel awful right now. I knew he played a heck of a game. I did not realize he was perfect. I did not know he was literally 18 for 18. I mean, that, but I knew he played really well. You could feel it. And he really found his rhythm early, and I thought he was seeing the field, played with rhythm. A heck of a play on the down in the red zone on the catch. Good throw by Saint, you know, been working that. So I just thought it was excellent, you know, and credit to Ben Johnson, too. I thought he called a heck of a game. It was a good game plan. And really, everybody on that offense, you know, stepped up and found a rhythm today.
So you have inside of that game a quarterback throwing a touchdown to a receiver, and that receiver then throwing a touchdown to the quarterback. Pretty awesome. Jared Goff, 18 of 18, 292 yards, 2 touchdowns, passer rating 155.8.
That's good.
If you were curious,
how is that not perfect at 158.3? How is that possible?
Well, see, that's a good question.
Stupid. That's stupid.
It's a better question for Amon-Ra, who was 1 of 1 with a 7-yard touchdown, and his passer rating was only 135.4.
What the hell's going on?
You would think that if you throw a touchdown on the only pass that you throw, that would be a perfect passer rating.
Oh, it's such a lame stat. Well, I know we use it all the time, but it's so problematic. Now we'll do that for another show. Or we can just let Bernsey do it. Yeah, the Lions are good, man. They are powerful as an offense. They are multiple as an offense. And their defense is 3 points per game better so far than it was last year. If their defense is going to be just that little bit better, that might be enough. And they were damn good last year. That is a scary, scary team to watch.
They have a bunch of players that you go, man, that player is really, really good. And the guy that I keep, look at those Iowa tight ends, Sam Laporta. The guy is a problem. And obviously, Amon-Ra, the sun god,
dude,
is out there doing his thing.
You see the Jameson Williams, like, 70-yard touchdown where he was just gone in the blink of an eye?
Jahmyr Gibbs being able and then, to do a little thunder and lightning with him and David Montgomery.
Montgomery runs so hard. And then they have that offensive line, man.
And they have Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
Who had three quarterback hits in the game.
He was a beast.
Yeah. So there, we have looked at the NFC North. We have turned the page.
Yes, we have.
From the Bears' win. Now they get ready to take on the Carolina Panthers. Speaks with an awesome capsule on the Panthers to get you ready for that game.
So I think that throwing a touchdown pass to a quarterback is one of my favorite things in football. I think it's absolutely one of my favorite things in terms of like trick plays. That's so damn fun, isn't it?
So like the Nick Foles,
the Nick Foles special,
or when they tried to do it with Tom Brady, but he couldn't quite catch it.
Peyton threw one to McMahon way back in the day, didn't he?
I always love looking up Walter Payton quarterback stats.
They're very good.
Because there's a bunch of them for a guy who played running back because he started a game at quarterback for the Bears. Which is, like, think about that for a second. And it wasn't he was just going to run the ball every play. Like, Walter Payton could throw. And so he would throw it. He was almost always the best athlete on the field.
Yeah.
And in those moments when they didn't have a quarterback, he was like, screw it, I'll play quarterback.
There's just something so outrageous about it. It just feels like, I can't believe they're doing that. I mean, Hook and Ladder's pretty good. Detroit did that one too, right? Didn't they do that one a couple weeks ago?
They did.
It was Amon-Ra to Gibbs?
Yes.
A perfect Hook and Ladder that they executed.
I'm trying to think of what kind of falls, like, I...
What's your favorite NFL trick play? Light him up. I go throwing it to the quarterback and the hook and ladder.
Hook and ladder is pretty good. Give me a good Dave Tobe fake punt or fake punt reception.
Ah, yes.
I love
the Johnny
that.
Knox play.
I like a good holder flip backwards.
Oh, that's really nice. The holder flip to the kicker who runs a little sweep around the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's excellent.
I don't mind that at all.
How about the fumble rooski? RIP the fumble rooski. I don't think it's allowed anymore.
How about the annexation of Puerto Rico? How are we feeling about that? By the way, if you were wondering, because this is really ridiculous now that you see it. Walter Payton passing stats. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, this is absolutely nutty that this was a thing where he got to throw the rock. Walter Payton was 11 of 34 in his career. He threw for 8 touchdowns and 6 interceptions in his career. That is awesome.
11 of 34?
And 8 of those 11 were touchdowns.
How many interceptions, though?
6.
That's a lot of interceptions.
He's a running back.
I know, but like after a while... I mean, 11 of 34, that's a lot of passes.
It's a ton of passes.
A halfback option is a very fun trick play, without a doubt.
But when he's lined up in shotgun,
having that reaction, Lawrence, about him being a running back but throwing interceptions, that's you would still have that reaction if, like, a veterinarian, like said, okay, I'll save that guy's life. I'll do this heart procedure on a person, and then he wasn't successful. You would say... He's a veterinarian, but you would say, then don't volunteer to do it.
Shane, you're right. You could argue that the football play died on the operating table because Walter Payton threw an interception.
Wow. I don't think people talk enough about how bad Walter Payton's completion rate was, or a touchdown to interception rate.
His quarterback rate. What's his quarterback rating?
His rating was 70.
That's not good.
That's not good.
For a running back.
But is that the ESPN QBR or the regular QBR?
The regular.
But
that's not good.
I will say there was a game where he threw the ball 5 times.
Oh, that's probably...
Had a rating of 143.7.
All right, well, that's good. But it was probably like a Denver Broncos situation from a couple years ago where they had nobody to play quarterback.
That's exactly what it was.
And they let Walter do it. Here's the thing. I think once the interception rate got that high...
Where it was almost 1-to-1.
We're like, wait a minute. I was looking at the stats, guys. We're now at 6-5, you know? That's too high. That's when you make the quarterback play quarterback instead of the running back.
You know what? We're not going to blaspheme up in here. We're not blaspheming in here. Walter Payton could do it all.
Let me do a palate cleanse. 1972, the broken extra point where Dick Butkus catches the extra point and he shows the ball to the defender.
So
like,
great.
After scoring, and then the guy just swats it out of his hand. Old-timey football.
Doug used to tell so many great stories about how in those practices, the Bears' offenses were so bad that Butkus had pretty much created an offense out of the defensive players. It was like, you know what? We'll just play offense too, because you guys stink. You guys stink. So we'll just do it ourselves.
I'd argue that Walter was still waiting for his number one wide receiver. The Bears couldn't get him one either.
It was McMahon. That was the problem.
The Bears broke Peyton.
Yep. Seems like it.
See? God, everything is connected.
Could've died been, way too young. Thanks, Bears.
Could have been a great quarterback.
The Bears and quarterbacks, they even did it to Walter Payton.
Give that guy more hills to run on.
Jared does run a hill. We'll ask him next time. Yeah. I think he does. There's a specific hill that he runs every once in a while.
He'll invite you out, and if you want, you could go run the hill behind Soldier Field, the sled hill.
Oh, it's
if
a good
you want
hill.
To go do that, it's a fun time.
I once brought Ruben there to the sledding hill, and it was great. We went up and then sled down, and then I tried to go up again, and I slipped, and I fell down. It was bad news. And then somebody said to me,
there's
you know,
stairs.
There's a staircase around the back. I was like, I have no idea. Thank you, sir.
You also went in July, so that was the weird.
It was a little bit.
Yeah.
And I still slipped. That's not a good sign.
That is awesome that you didn't know that there were stairs.
Thank you, sir. Where were you 20 minutes ago, no, sir?
Now I'm out of breath and I'm hurt.
Before I was flailing around like a starfish in the middle
Slippy
of a...
Over there. Oh, man.
And that man was Dan Jiggins.
Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Mm. When we come back, there's a former Green Bay player that's upset. And maybe he's upset because he's with a former Bears play caller. We'll discuss all of that next here on The Score.
I just keep my head down and keep doing my thing and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. But, you know, it's kind of just like the weekly What's Up with Tay thing. You know, it's always some sort of drama. But at the end of the day, 1-7 doesn't create any of it. So people can say what they want. But I'm just chilling, trying to be the model for, you know, not stirring the pot and just locking in and doing what I got to do.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
That was Devontae Adams talking with Kay Adams about his situation.
Unrelated.
They are not related. Situations are. Did you watch the receiver series?
I did not. Started it, but didn't get there.
I highly recommend anyone who's interested in what's happening in Las Vegas with Devontae Adams to check it out. Because this started last year. There were issues last year.
With Carr being gone and him realizing, oh boy, it's going to be a while before I have somebody. I don't even know what it's going to be. That kind of thing.
And him having Jimmy and Jimmy not being good. And like there was stuff. And he was very open about it.
What, is that Tanny? The clip that's online of Devontae mic'd up saying, you got to give me the F out of here. I'm going to get killed.
Yep.
Is that from the receivers? I was wondering what that was from.
It's really good. Like him explaining, like it's kind of what we're talking about with DJ Moore, and it's easy to label Devontae as a diva. But as you're watching it, you understand his point of view. That he's kind of saying, well, I'm here because you guys wanted me to help. I can help. Let's figure out some ways to get me the ball.
It is a psychologically fascinating position. When Michael Irvin was in the studio with me and Dan McNeil years ago, he described it as you are the most dependent player on the field. Can't do anything without the quarterback getting you the ball. And yet you are out wide in the most independent spot on the field, responsible for your own routes and your own one-on-ones. And you can win your matchup maybe every time, but it doesn't mean a damn thing. So it creates a very interesting psychological space for an athlete. That resonated with me.
It was good. Like, you got to get through that first episode of it, because the first episode felt like a commercial for the Kittles, which is fine. Like, I like George Kittle, but it felt like they were setting it up for a spinoff of the Kittles.
I had the lead-in for that to Montez.
the Kittles?
Yeah.
See, I got a bag of the Tropical, and Kittles. I didn't like them. I didn't like them. I was like, man, it feels too Hawaiian. Oahu. It feels too much. Like,
I'm so happy that the Kittles brought lime back instead of apple. Because, you know, when you're like, oh, I don't like that,
you know, it's
bring back the lime.
You know, it's a cruel trick is have a bowl full of M&Ms and just pour some Skittles in there. That's a mean party foul that I don't recommend for unless you really want to do that.
Where is Cruel Trick playing this weekend? Where are they going to be at? The Aragon?
They're from Rockford, and they've had a great, great long run. Robin Zander still sounds great. Surrender. Just had to hammer that one home. We could do this all day.
So
sometimes we do.
Where do you think he's going to end up?
I think he's going to be a Kansas City Chief, my man.
There's no way, right? I thought about that, too. It was brought up. Oh, by the way, I meant to mention this.
I don't know. Maybe they can't make the money work, but I wouldn't be surprised if they find a way to make the money work.
There's no way the Raiders can trade that guy to Patrick Mahomes.
Is there an offensive lineman that the Chiefs can give up on and just make Pat Mahomes try and survive for another Super Bowl? Because they'd get there with Devontae Adams, with the best route runner in the NFL.
I'd take him. I mean, watch out for his ACL. What if, don't run into me, Devontae.
What if I said you had to take your newly minted center, you know, take Creed Humphrey or something like that?
I mean, I'll mint anyone. I'm Patrick. You give me anyone. I'm mint Tanny. I mint him right now.
You just mint people.
I mint him.
Man.
The rumored compensation that the Raiders would like is like a second round pick or higher, or that's like the starting point if someone wants to get Devontae Adams. You would imagine
the Chiefs would give up that
perhaps there's a quarterback in New York
God.
Right now.
He doesn't deserve anything else.
That would like to have another ally in the locker room.
We gave you Alan Lazard. You have to accept Alan Lazard. That's third generation Kirkland brand Devontae. You know, you just have to accept that. You don't get more.
But if you're the Jets and you're going, our quarterback's going to be 41 right at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And if we were going to win, we got to win now. And either we win now or we blow it all up. The coach goes, the quarterback goes, and you start all over. Then maybe you just get Devontae Adams and say, screw it. Let's ride.
Sure. Well, the only thing that I would like about that is that Aaron Rodgers would still fail. Is that he would still fail, and then that would make it just a little bit more delicious, I suppose, to watch Aaron Rodgers fail, even with Devontae Adams. Because he doesn't need more. That's not the issue at this point. Garrett Wilson is freaking great. Hey, he should be able to make that work.
Someone brought this up, and I don't want to alarm you, Speaks.
Yes.
He could just go back to Green Bay.
Oh, man. Give up a few few of those young wideouts.
Uh-huh.
Because they got a big pile of them.
You could just send him back to Green Bay, and then he becomes Jordan Love's best friend. That doesn't feel very good.
No, I don't like that.
I don't like that one bit. I don't like that one bit.
I think they should give up whatever they have to get him. Draft picks, guys on the current roster. Just give it all away.
For Devontae Adams.
Matt LaFleur. Give away Matt LaFleur.
Trade him.
Yep.
I'm working with Luke Getsy again.
Trade one of the owners. Send one of them away.
That's everybody who lives in Wisconsin.
Yes, correct. Get them out of there.
They get a little certificate.
Send Bart Winkler away. Trade
Bart
them.
Winkler.
I know, me too, but if you got to trade him.
Go ahead and mint them. I don't care. Mint them all, Patrick, right?
Whoa. What?
That's on me.
You know, that's who we would be willing to trade for Devontae Adams from the Green Bay Packers is Bart Winkler. We would be willing.
Hey, someone on the Twitch stream says, would you be willing to trade Velus?
Why, yes. Yes, I would.
I mean, they got to throw in a sweetener.
Velus and a two.
Absolutely, because you're weakening two positions on the Bears. Wide receiver and running back. So
they
better
right.
sweeten that.
Yeah.
Well,
three and kick returner.
Who are you going to start at inactive? You know, I mean, who's gonna play there?
Probably Doug Kramer.
Oh man, no way! Doug is essential. Doug. We need that guy.
Got to have Doug.
He's totally essential. I thought Devontae wants to go play with Derek Carr. He's just going to chase him around the NFL.
I mean, things are better now, though. I mean, that offense that they're running in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I think he could be a fit down there.
It's because they have a Kubiak.
And they're like super tight. But I'm telling you, you gotta watch midway through receiver.
I'm only gonna do it if you send me a timestamp on an episode.
You know what? You're right. That's a good way to look at it.
Because our life is busy, Lawrence.
You're right.
There's so much to do.
I'll find you some specifics in there so that you can see the reaction because they did a great job of explaining to us all of the stuff.
Gotcha.
He was also, and this is a bad mark for Devontae. he was an advocate of Antonio Pierce taking over because Pierce had said to him, like, I get where you're coming from, and we're going to try and make all of this stuff work. And it did. They had Aiden O'Connell out there trying to force him the ball. Uh-huh. And Devontae, I thought, was being really good to AOC, that version of AOC, saying, look, man, don't worry about forcing me the ball. I know that you're trying to do the right thing when it comes to the offense.
See, that's good.
But then you get Gardner Minshew out there and you get Luke Getsy's offense.
He's a weirdo. Gardner Minshew's an interesting human. Yeah, what is Luke Getsy's offense? What's the role of that in all of this?
I can't
imagine.
That's
what you teased as the former Bear.
But if you watch the film, and you actually watch the film.
Yeah, Lawrence.
I can't imagine.
He and Kurt Warner hang out and watch it together.
That Devontae is happy with some of the things that he's been asked to do in the offense.
Most offensive coordinators are just guys falling prey to groupthink around the NFL and trying to showcase themselves as being innovative within that and trying to show like how cool and inventive they are.
I also think that there's some proximity to it where people with Getsy, and I don't want to relitigate all of it, but because he was standing next to Aaron Rodgers, you're giving him credit for Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers. And that to me is ridiculous. In similar ways to standing next to Peyton Manning doesn't make you a someone who should be coaching an offense nor a team. And now you're out of football, Adam Gase.
See,
Adam Gase is only 45.
That's crazy to be completely out of football. How much did that eye roll?
It didn't help.
I don't think it helped. I don't think it helped his cause.
Stop calling it a GIF.
Too late. Too late.
I say GIF.
Stop.
Too.
Stop.
Oh, look at that.
Stop.
Well, I think we became a team today.
The guy who created it calls it GIF.
He's
wrong.
Guy. No, he created it.
The guy
it.
Who created moving pictures?
Lawrence Holmes. Rush? That's a great album by Rush. Here's Lawrence Holmes for the win.
That's stupid.
That's right, man.
I say GIF. It's stupid.
It's my guy.
If you say GIF, I'm not going to get mad at you, but I say GIF.
Okay.
I like to get mad at you.
All right. Well, see, now I feel like a.
No, be you, Shane. It's on the card.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the card.
Just trying to find the whys. Here's why I can't watch Receiver. I got to watch the Menendez movie.
See if you're in it.
I have to watch Monsters. I'm going to try and watch it tonight. I got to see if there's a youth tennis scene and if there's a chubby kid with a Nicholas from 8 is Enough haircut running around, because then that would be me. Then I know that they looked at some old pictures and they're like, who's going to play Matt Spiegel, the Menendez brothers movie?
I don't care who the other children are. I'm going to say that it's you.
But that kid is black.
Doesn't matter.
I'm glad you expanded, though, because if we stop that at I want to see if there's a youth tennis scene, we have to move on. You don't want to watch kids play tennis.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
And you might be in the movie.
I'll watch it, and then I can share some of the other stories that I got from my dad over the weekend about the Menendez brothers, because my mom taught them and knew them, so I can share some of that stuff.
Okay.
I'm gonna watch that tonight. So you send me a timestamp on Receiver. I will send you a timestamp on the youth tennis scene in the Menendez movie tonight.
Right, what the heck did your mom teach them? What?
Murder 101 by Mrs. Spiegel?
It was murdering, actually. Class. It was murdering with an apostrophe. Because it was how to do it. It wasn't the history of murder.
It went right to 202.
Those guys, they were just passed right on through. Oh, you guys are already good at this.
Wow. And to follow this up,
yeah.
Spiegs would like to talk about chicken corners.
Damn right.
We have to whiteboard it for people who don't know, though. Are you okay with that?
Let's roll.
And what if I told you?
What if I told you?
In a whirl. What if I told you that I had a moment this weekend where I was like, hey, here's another chicken corners that I could talk to Spiegs about.
There are two? I'm intrigued.
Let's talk about chicken corners?
Yep.
Next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
I think you guys should call it fair or foul. It was one of the great chicken discussions I have ever heard.
Steve Stone enjoyed the chicken conversation that day and suggested the segment. Thank you, Stoney. We discovered that the intersection of diversity and...
No, Fullerton.
Oh, it is Fullerton. That's right.
Yeah.
Fullerton and Clybourne
and Damon.
And Damon?
Yes.
I thought it was DeVersi and Damon.
No, it's Fullerton.
It is Fullerton. So it's Fullerton and Damon.
And Elston.
And Elston.
And Elston.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Chicken Corners.
Fullerton and Damon and Elston. Chicken Corners, because there's a Popeyes there and there's
a Chick-fil-A
there. And I think now there's also a Panera there. And
there
is. They joined the Chicken Wars. So we christened that intersection as Chicken Corners. And we felt really good about it. The reason I brought it up and I got all screwy on it is because our friends over at Axios Chicago, Justin Kaufman.
Shout out to our buddy Justin Kaufman.
They're doing.
No.
What do you mean, no?
No. Softball player.
Softball season's over.
Bad team.
He's a good softball player.
He is. You can like Justin now again.
Yeah.
I like Justin.
Justin's like one of my favorite people.
Yeah, I love Justin.
So, Justin, they're doing a most annoying intersection in Chicago bracket. And Chicken Corners is not on there, but the final four is DeVersi, Damon, and Clybourne.
Okay.
Versus North, Damon, and Milwaukee.
That's pretty bad.
The other one, it's all North Side, though. That must be a voter thing.
79th Stoney and South Chicago isn't on there?
And 79th and Stoney lost in the first round to Cermak, Pulaski, and Ogden.
Good Lord.
Well.
Shocking.
Believe me, Shane, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it. The other final, the other semifinal is Armitage, Ashlyn, and Elston. Oh, man.
Oh my God.
That is so annoying.
Yes.
That is brutal.
I'm with that.
Because it like goes down to one lane underneath the Metra there. Oh, yeah. It doesn't even make any sense.
That's really terrible.
Against Fullerton, Halstead, and Lincoln, which I don't think is really that bad.
It's better now. There was a time when it was really bad. That's uh-huh. right where DePaul's campus starts.
Yes.
It used to be horrendous. It's better now.
Yeah, Roosevelt and Canal lost in the first round. 130th and Torrance lost in the first round. Belmont and Western went down in the first round. Chicago Ave and DeSable Lakeshore Drive. That's a good one.
Because
is a pig bleep.
Look, if I were to run for mayor, one of the things that I would do is I would get rid of that turn lane.
The one going north, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
Northbound Lakeshore Drive.
South bad.
That left turn there is not good for the city.
Oh, my God.
I'm Lawrence Holmes, and I approve this message.
You know what? You got my vote. When I used to work at a Navy Pier over at WBEZ for a while, you'd get we had to go to the Playboy building, which is right there on the other side, and you'd have to do a Starsky and Hutch routine every single time. You get on at Ohio Street, and then you have to get left to get through four lanes of traffic while people are speeding or turning. It's the worst.
But I will say, I know it lost in the first round, but 79th Stoney and South Chicago Avenue, fam. Fam. And look, yeah. This is where I need my Southside people to show up on this show.
Southsiders, show up!
Yeah, I need you to show up.
That was his first draft. Didn't take.
Oh, there's something I want to say, but I'm not going to say it.
Take that, history!
Not going to take that from the Northsiders!
I don't care how many Elstons we got.
I'm going to take all the high road.
Did we say Fullerton, Clybourne, Ashland over by the Midtown Athletic Club? Was that on there?
No.
That one's brutal coming off a 90.
Yeah,
that's pretty much where Chicken Corners is.
Yes,
Chicken Corners is convoluted, just like Armitage, Ashland, and Elston. That should win, by the way. Armitage, Ashland, and Elston. It's an absolute disaster. But anyway, where's Southside Chicken Corners?
So I just thought about this, because now, because we're together, I get an opportunity to kind of reconnect some of those synapses of stuff that we vibe on.
Yeah.
I was driving Sunday after the game, and I was like, man, I just wanted to just get out and drive a little bit. And I was driving down Stony Island, and I was like, wait a minute, there's a Chicken Corners here too. So if you start, I'm expanding it a little bit.
Okay.
But if you start at 72nd, there's a Browns.
Oh.
Then there's a Popeyes on 75th in Stony across
blocks.
The street
I'm sorry.
From KFC.
I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's three. But that's three blocks away. We're going to have to call that the Chicken District.
Okay. Well, I you shouldn't say that. You should let me say that part. Especially after our first show.
Let me write
you
that
should
down.
Allow me to things, say all of those things.
Things I shouldn't say.
I think you mean our first minute, Lawrence. Not just our first show, our first minute.
You were correct on that.
I was talking to a friend yesterday who heard that and was like, wow, the show's going to be canceled already. That's amazing. They had a good run.
It's a good run for 30 seconds.
A texter says, I drive a beer truck. You guys are giving me anxiety talking about these intersections.
Have a beer, dude. You'll get rid of the anxiety.
Seems to help.
Just have the beer.
Stop the truck and go towards the back. Go into it. But then don't drive it again.
If you got any nominations for another Chicken Corners that we're not thinking of, whether in the city or the suburbs, let us know. Whether you want to do it on the Twitch stream or you want to text us at 312-644-6767. You just need two. That'll give you the beginnings of a Chicken Corners or a Chicken District, which Matt Spiegel has labeled the entire South Side.
No, I did not. Just a 3-block radius. How dare you?
There is a Harold's over there, too.
Okay.
See, there you go.
Is it a good one, though? They're all different.
Everyone has their own favorites on which Harold you go to and why you like that one versus another one.
South Loop one is gone. It disappeared all of a sudden.
Not surprised by that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed very shady.
Not surprised at all. When we come back, Patrick Manley is going to talk to us about Special Team Player of the Week, Torrey Taylor. It's next here on The Score.